is up? It's The Rant. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Friday, September 17th. Week two coming at us here, and on the podcast, just like last week, I'm going to go through all the games, give you my thoughts, try and cover as many fantasy-relevant players as possible. You know you're starting Patrick Mahomes, etc., but I know you have some other decisions that might be a little bit more complicated. Remember, if it sounds like it's crazy, it's crazy. Like, if you ask, would it be crazy too? Yeah, it's crazy. It probably is. Don't try and outthink fantasy football. You're never going to be able to do it. And on top of that, one really interesting good way to think about things is, you know, think about if you played this week out 10,000 times. How often would that thing happen compared to the other? And, you know, whatever you think is the most likely to play out most often, because nothing's going to play out every time. Well, that's the thing we do. And that's the idea embedded in rankings, ultimately. And that's why I always say over at ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK, can't resist the promo, my rankings are how I make sorts of decisions. It's really that simple. You don't have to overthink this stuff. So let's dive into these games here. And by the way, over at ftnfantasy.com as well, you will have the report. That is my game-by-game analysis. I don't give you 50,000 words on every player. In fact, I only give you two short paragraphs on each game, but I do mention every single player. And for example, for our first game here, Joe Burrow is mentioned. And I tell you where he is ranked, QB13. I tell you if he's a starter, a streamer, a flex option, a desperation play, or a bench guy. For Burrow, he is a possible streamer, which means he's not a top 12 guy, but he is a top 18 or 19 guy, and he's 13. And then I tell you about the matchup, neutral matchup. Joe Mixon, RB7, starter, unfavorable matchup. But you know what? I don't care about the matchup, and I'll talk about that in a second. You get all of that in the report. It is really every single player covered. It's a great resource. So let's talk about this game. I mentioned Joe Mixon. I don't really care about the matchup because 33 touches last week. So the Bears, yeah, seventh worst fantasy matchup since the start of 2020. But who cares? Ultimately, who cares? You're starting Higgins. You're starting Chase. Heck, I think you're even starting Tyler Boyd. I have him at wide receiver 36, and actually not a terrible matchup there for him. On the other side, that sweet, sweet, sweet revenge game there for Andy Dalton. Not using him, though. Allen Robinson trending up a little bit after last week's tough matchup, wide receiver 14. Darnell Mooney, wide receiver 47, so he's kind of a dart throw flex option. But the player I really want to key in on here is David Montgomery. 5.1 yards after contact per attempt in week one. That's pretty good. Including last year, the Bengals allowing 5.2 yards per carry to opposing running backs. It's also pretty good for David Montgomery, RB15. The only thing is he won't do much in a passing game. Cole Kmet, maybe a streamer as well based on his volume, tight end 15 for him. Houston, Cleveland. On the Houston side of things, there is really only one player I want to use. It's Brandon Cooks, and I don't love him. It's a tough matchup, but he's the guy. So I'm using him as wide receiver 30 this week. Mark Ingram is an absolute desperation flex. It's a low upside play. It's really all about the other side. I mean, because Cleveland is pretty good against the run. 85 rushing yards per game. Going back to the beginning of last season. Houston, on the other hand, 149.8. That is the highest in the league since the start of 2020. And that means both Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are fantasy starters this week. Chubb, RB4. Hunt, RB20. He could possibly get Baker in there, though no Odell Beckham Jr., so it really comes down to, you know, you have Jarvis Landry and the 16 different tight ends that they have on their roster. But, the Texans' eighth most net passing yards per game surrendered since the start of last year as well. So Baker is in play at quarterback 14. Rams, Colts. Well, as I just mentioned, David Montgomery fared well against the Rams defense, but they're still a good run defense. I'm not going to use that as they suck, see? No. Jonathan Taylor, I'm not downgrading too dramatically. I don't think we should overreact to these things. Ask anybody who overreacted to Terry McLaurin last night. Didn't work out very well. So I'm not going to overreact to this. As far as I'm concerned, Jonathan Taylor is still an RB1. It's an unfavorable matchup, but the volume is still going to be there, hopefully still in the passing game as well. The Rams, very good against the pass, 225, that is, 0.6 net passing yards per game allowed since last season. You're not playing Carson Wentz, but I also think you're not playing Michael Pittman or Zach Pascal. And I really don't want Nyheim Hines. I don't like passing down backs because they're too hit or miss, so I don't want him in a flex spot. I do love Matty Stafford, Cooper Kupp. Robert Woods is fine. Two end zone targets last week. All those guys are good to go. I think the backfield is the interesting spot because the Colts defense is pretty good against the run. The question is how much Sony Michel do we see this week? I do think it's going to be more than three snaps, but not much more. Darrell Henderson's still an RB2 for now. He's at RB16 in my rankings. Buffalo and Miami. Zach Moss will play in this one, so there's that. But I think you still use Devin Singletary, flex option, RB27 for me right now. You're using him. You're not using Zach Moss. We're just waiting and seeing. You're using, obviously, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. Nothing changes there. On the other side, Tua is at quarterback 19, but no Will Fuller, so you upgrade Jalen Waddle, who could possibly be flexed, maybe a little bit more of a desperation flex with Devontae Parker. Miles Gaskin, it is a committee. It is a committee. And Buffalo did hold Najee Harris in check last week, but at the same time, he is on the right side of the committee, and it's a three-man committee. He's on the right side of it, so RB21 for Miles Gaskin. If I'm being offered Miles Gaskin in a trade right now, I am not trying to acquire him. I would love to get rid of him, in fact, if I somehow drafted him. Fortunately, I don't have that problem because I did not, but you could use him as a back-end RB2 this week. I think that's the point of the story. All right, we have Mac versus Zach, New England and the Jets as the next game on the list here. Two rookie quarterbacks squaring off against each other, but very different matchups for these guys. So let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about New England versus the New York Jets. Mac versus Zach. In the long term, fantasy-wise, I do think Zach Wilson has the higher fantasy ceiling. But in this game, I think Mac Jones is the better play. And he's a borderline, you know, you're kind of screwed. There's nobody out there. You have to pick somebody streamer, if that's a thing. Quarterback 20, so he's like right on the edge. But I don't mind this matchup. I mean, the Jets, we know the Jets have been very favorable to opposing signal callers. In fact, only the Falcons and Lions have allowed more fantasy points per game to the position since the start of last year. So that's favorable. He's got the nice weapons here in Jacoby Myers and Nelson Aguilar. It could be a whole lot worse. I don't mind him here. I also like Damian Harris. RB18 for him. You can run on the Jets. 11th best matchup for the position. Be aware that Jonnu Smith popped up on the injury report. Never like to see those midweek downgrades. I am taking a peek here. Sometimes we get Friday reports by the time I broadcast, but not today. So he did pop up. If Jonnu Smith doesn't go, all of a sudden Hunter Henry moves up to a top 12 fantasy tight end. So just be aware of that in this one. Otherwise, I would go, I have Smith at 13. I have Hunter Henry at 16. On the other side, Zach Wilson, like I said, is not in a good spot. He's going to run into Belichick, and I don't care who's on the defense for the Patriots. That's going to be a tough matchup. Corey Davis is really the only option worth playing in season-long fantasy football here. Wide receiver 34. Michael Carter, I'm getting a lot of questions about. People keep asking me, why do I want to keep him on my bench? Well, my question is, why in the world did you draft him then? If you didn't realize that was what we were doing with him. We're keeping him on a bench because that's the point. Nobody expected him to be a stud right out of the gate. We knew Tevin Coleman was going to be used. He knows the offense better. It's the same darn offense he's played in the last 2 years. And even before that, he played in this offense. He knows the offense. But Michael Carter is eventually going to get to know the offense, and he's eventually going to be the better player. So I am keeping him on benches, unless I'm in one of those silly five or four-man bench leagues, but whatever. San Francisco, Philadelphia, let's talk about it. Trey Sermon will be active in this one. That is what I expected. But I still do expect Elijah Mitchell to be the lead guy. He is a starter for fantasy for me. He's RB23, so he's an RB2 option. It's not the best matchup, not the worst matchup. Philly's good against the run. But at the same time, I think there's going to be some volume here. And it's also the San Francisco run game. Brandon Ayuk, we got to keep an eye on. Kyle Shanahan has kind of walked it back and basically said, like, yeah, he's still in the mix here. He even blamed fantasy a little bit. Like, you know, I guess when you say certain things, it's funny. You say certain things that a football audience, a traditional football audience, would understand. Maybe fans wouldn't love it, but the football crowd kind of gets what he's saying. Yeah, basically was saying he was banged up, and that's why they used more Sherfield. But, you know, the fantasy audience freaks out over that. Kyle Shanahan said he would have got his spot back if it wasn't for the hamstring injury before the final game. Like, he actually literally had to say what it was. So, yeah, he even said things are a bigger deal because of fantasy football. This is why we got to chill, man. We just got to chill. Don't go pissing Kyle Shanahan off, all right? But we'll keep an eye on him. I'm not starting him, but I do expect to see more work for him. On the other side, it's pretty straightforward. You're using Hurts as a top 10 option. You're using Sanders as RB 19, that is, not 29. That would be bad. RB 19, Devontae Smith, wide receiver 32. So they're all starters. Dallas Goedert, 12. He's a starter. Getting a lot of questions about Kenny Gainwell. The common question, Kenny Gainwell or Tony Jones, who do I want on my bench? Honestly, it doesn't matter, does it? You could throw a dart at either. I know that's not the answer people want, but I guess I'm just trying to be real with this. If you have Kenny Gainwell, or you have Tony Jones, what are you hoping for? And it's a shame because you're hoping for somebody to get hurt. That's the only way that you're getting fantasy value there. It's either Kamara or Sanders. And I got to knock on wood so this doesn't happen. Okay, there we go. If one of those guys gets hurt, they have value. Otherwise, neither one really has any value. You can't use them in starting lineups. So what are we hoping for? That's it. And I can't predict those injuries. So, you know, people ask me which one. I don't really have a preference. I think they both can have moderate, like if you're in a 16 or 18 or 20 team league, moderate deep value, independent of being cuffed, but ultimately they're just cuffs. Vegas and the Steelers. On a Vegas side, we are keeping an eye on Josh Jacobs. He missed practice on Wednesday and Thursday. Now, they are in the short week, but it still is definitely concerning. If he doesn't go, then Kenyon Drake's going to see a heavy workload in this one. It is a really tough matchup, though, so you can't view Kenyon Drake as anything more than a back-end RB2. Darren Waller, and by the way, it's more of a flex option for Jacobs if he goes. He just doesn't have to work in a passing game. Darren Waller's a stud, we know that, and that's it. That's all we're using on that side. On the other side, you could possibly stream Ben in this one. It's a favorable matchup. You know you're starting Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Najee Harris. You're starting him, and I love the matchup. The Raiders just allowed multiple rushing scores, two scores to the Baltimore backfield, 4.7 yards per carry over the last, year since the start of the 2020 season. Love that matchup for Najee Harris. New Orleans, Carolina. Jameis, coming off a game where he threw for 5 passing scores, is quarterback 15. We can't get him into that top 12 yet, but he's one of the better streamer options if you picked him up and you have, like, Kirk Cousins. Well, I would go with Jameis. We know what we're doing with Kamara. Callaway's the interesting player. Actually, two interesting situations, but Callaway first and foremost. Last week was no indicator on him. I have him at wide receiver 46, which means you could possibly flex him out, but I think this week is the litmus test for him. If I was going to start one Saints tight end, it's Adam Trautman. Juwan Johnson was barely on the field. Adam Trautman was out there. He doubled up Johnson in targets 6-3. He's out there basically the entire game. If I was going to start one, it's Trautman, and I don't want to start either. On the other side, Christian McCaffrey runs into a buzzsaw. This is a really tough defense, but you know what? It doesn't change our perspective on him. He's phenomenal. The passing matchup, though, is a little bit challenging. I've downgraded DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, wide receiver 21, wide receiver 35, against a Saints defense that did hold Aaron Rodgers in check last week. And Terrace Marshall is not usable this week in season long. Denver, Jacksonville, Teddy's a possible streamer if you need it. Cortland Sutton will be the top wideout for him. He's the only one worth using in season long, wide receiver 33. I do expect a ton of Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. They literally split snaps last week, 33 each. I think that happens again in this one, and you can run all over Jacksonville. So they both could have reasonably big days. On the other side, Trevor Lawrence goes back to the bench for fantasy purposes this week, but if you're in a situation where you have like Trevor Lawrence and Kirk Cousins, just hang on to Trevor Lawrence. Just use Cousins this week, and then Trevor Lawrence, still believe in the long term he's going to have a lot of upside here and a lot of, you know, passing attempts for sure. It's just this is a really tough defense. I don't want to use one of the receivers, but if I had to, here's the order I have them in: Laviska Shenault, DJ Chark, Marvin Jones. They're all back-to-back-to-back, though, and they're all flex options at best. I don't want to use James Robinson because of Carlos Hyde, and that's that. And I guess because of Urban Meyer. Minnesota, Arizona, as I mentioned, Kirk Cousins, QB 15. You're using Jefferson and Thielen no matter what. You know that. And Dalvin Cook as well. But not a terrible matchup on paper. It's just Arizona's defense did look excellent last week. We'll see if that carries over. On the other side, you know you're using Kyler. You know you're using Hopkins. What about Edmonds and Connor? It is a favorable matchup. The Vikings have struggled against the run, the number five matchup for running backs. Since the start of last season, I would prefer Edmonds, RB25. Connor, if you had to, RB35. Christian Kirk, don't really want to use him. Wide receiver 57. I think that probably would be the high watermark last week for him. Atlanta, Tampa Bay. Oh, man. Well, if Tampa Bay can do that against the Dallas defense, they could certainly do it against the Atlanta defense. The number one fantasy matchup for quarterbacks since the start of the 2020 season. Quarterbacks have averaged 323.9 net passing yards per game against the Falcons over that span. Yeah, Brady's going to go off. Here's the order of the wideouts for me: Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown. 13, 17, 23. Mike Evans bounces back in this one. They're not going to shadow him, so they're not going to take him out of the game. Gronk, tight end 8. You know you're using him. Every running back is a starter. We're all starters. We all get participation trophies in the Tampa backfield, but Leonard Fournette is probably the best. He's the only one I'm willing to use this week as a flex. RB33, though. Not bullish on him. Ronald Jones is a Hail Mary, what the heck, at RB37. A little bit of desperation there. On the other side, I want Calvin Ridley to bounce back here. I hope he does. It's not the best matchup, but still at wide receiver 6. Kyle Pitts at tight end 6. And that's about all I'd like to use. Mike Davis has a really tough matchup at RB31. We know how good that Tampa defense is. 3.4 yards per carry since the start of last season is all running backs are averaging. Dallas, Chargers. Well, you're starting every piece of Dallas that you have, the big four, right? Prescott, Zeke, Cooper, Lamb, and that's it. We'll keep an eye on how Cedric Wilson was used, but that's all we're doing there. On the other side, I do think the game script will be helpful. The matchup will be helpful for Justin Herbert. I love Keenan Allen. I talked about him yesterday. Mike Williams gets an upgrade to wide receiver 25. Jared Cook is in play as the kind of the top tight end pickup play of the week, tight end 11. And Austin Eckler, RB11, can we just give this guy some targets? I think Zeke rebounds here. Chargers have allowed 4.6 yards per carry to opposing running backs since the start of last year. Tennessee, Seattle. Wow. Tennessee, both sides. Defense really struggled. Offense really struggled. I do think you still go back to the well here. Quarterback 11 for Tannehill, wide receiver 11 for Brown, wide receiver 26 for Jones, but he's still startable, and Derrick Henry, RB5. Just kind of play it as we expected, and honestly, if we get another down performance, well, 2 weeks can be a trend in the NFL. Russ goes off, love Russ, QB3, love DK, wide receiver 4, love Lockett, wide receiver 12, love Chris Carson. Honestly, Tennessee allowing 4.5 yards per carry to opposing backs since the start of last year. And he has no competition for touches. RB13. If you're desperate at tight end, maybe you shoot for another touchdown with Gerald Everett, but I don't love that. Kansas City, Baltimore. Well, you know who you're starting on the Kansas City side, and that's it. Mahomes, Hill, Kelsey, CEH, it doesn't change. On the Baltimore side, you're starting Lamar and Andrews. Marquise Brown is banged up. We'll keep an eye on his status. The backfield. Tyson Williams, Latavius Murray, and it looks like Devonta Freeman will be on the active roster for this one. He was called up from the practice squad. He is not worth anything. So what do you do if you have Tyson Williams, or what do you do with Latavius Murray? Keep Murray on your bench for now. He's not startable this week. Tyson Williams, he is a flex option for me. He's the best chance of scoring fantasy points in that backfield. RB26. Detroit and Green Bay, to round it out, because I know you have to make your decisions before the Monday Night Football game. On the Detroit side, I do like the matchup. Green Bay has been friendly to opposing running backs, so DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams in play this week. Swift has an RB2, Williams is a flex, RB14 for Swift, 32 for Williams, but both are in play. And then Hockenson, of course, is now locked in as an every week high volume starter. But I really want to key in on the other side. Frustration after week one with Aaron Rodgers. Frustration after week one as a byproduct with Devontae Adams and with Aaron Jones. But they are facing Detroit. Detroit last year, or up to now, including last year, the number two fantasy matchup for both running backs and quarterbacks. Rodgers bounces back QB9. Adams still wide receiver one. Aaron Jones bounces back RB6. I don't really want to use anybody else, but Bobby Tonyan, if you needed to, tight end 14. There you go. There it is. Make those start sit decisions wisely. Enjoy the football this weekend. Head on over to FTNFantasy.com for all your fantasy football needs. FTNBets.com for all of your betting needs. And FTNDaily.com if you play DFS. Use the promo code RATPACK on any of those sites for a discount. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. And I will catch you on the flip side of the weekend for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.